In the early 50s, which we have just covered, the Diva computer, calculatrice in French, was very capricious, and everything turned around her. But soon the need for help in programming was felt everywhere. In October 1955, there was a conference in Darmstadt which turned out to be of great importance for the general development in Central Europe. At that conference, a GAM committee for programming languages was initiated. In Munich, special programming techniques with hardware support were developed using memory locations, special memory locations occupied by addresses and indirect addressing invented by Schächer in the year 1955 and soon copied elsewhere. Special hardware support was also given to facilitate address calculations and subroutine linkage, and here, of course, is a direct influence from the ETSAC school. Under the influence of Rüdeshauser's automatische Planfertigung from 1952, and in close contact with him, attempts to create a programming language based on common mathematical and algebraic notation and to construct automatic translators were started in 1954 by Samuelson and myself. Knowing well Angstrom's design, Samuelson observed in 1955 that in addition to the Zahlkeller, that stack where the intermediate results were stored in proper order, an operation cellar, an operation stack, would in the general case hold all the operations that had to wait and just as long as they had to wait, again in the proper order. This means that the restrictions Böhm had been forced to accept were totally unnecessary. We called it the Seller principle of sequential formula translation. A patent was filed March 30, 1957, describing in several levels machines that would be immediately formula controlled. Next slide, please. Here is the way one of these machines would work on a stack with this, locations S1, S2, S3, S4, and you see how the operations from the formula which is printed above are stacked down, and below you have the number cellar, NC, above the operations cellar, OC. There were four levels of machines. The most complicated level included handling of arrays and similar things. These machines were never built. In fact, the German patent was finally not granted, which brings Samuelson and me in pleasant company with Zuse, who also didn't get his patents too. But a United States patent, into which went a full wiring diagram, was indeed issued. The United States patent has a priority from 1958. When it became clear to us that this sort of machines at this moment were not to be built, but they have been built 15 years later as mini computers, we turned to implementing the Seller principle by a program, by a super plan in the terminology already used by Zuse and Rüdeshauser. In fact, in summer 57, I was consulting in Göttingen with Billing, and the number seller, at least, from our design, went into the G3 design that was just underway at that moment. So we turned to do the same in the programmed way, and we did now design the compiler and the language in close cooperation. That is, both the compiler and language design was done simultaneously. We did it in close cooperation also with Rüdeshauser, and this cooperation started about 1956. Later, from Darmstadt, from Walter's Institute, Bottenbruch joined us. Bottenbruch's specialty was the connection to formal systems in mathematical logic. Our main task in Munich was what today would be called parsing and code generation. Rüdeshauser was particularly interested in runtime systems. Rüdeshauser had worked out a system of procedure, linkage, and storage allocation in a way that also reminds me of the ETSAC organization of library routines, a complete system that allows to bring in procedures through the back door, as he said. That means as parameters into a procedure. It was described in the form of a set of rules which all programmers that did programs for the ERMAT were supposed to observe. And the booklet was compiled by Waldburger. The system allowed to bring into a procedure the same procedure through the backdoor. Why not? So it had fully recursive storage allocation. Rudisather did not publish it, but he was disappointed when Dijkstra in 1960 published his method, which he had found independently. Rudisather, on the other hand, did not know that recursive organization of procedures was already envisaged in a special case by Van der Poel, who in 1952, in the same paper where the previous slide was taken from, described an organization of subroutine return that amounts to stacking the return addresses. In the middle of 1957, a detailed description in the form of syntactic charts of the programming language to be used and of the parser and code generator to work on it was ready. Parsing was described by a table of entry symbol against the top symbol in the cellar, giving the transition of the cellar content. In other words, in the form of what Oettinger later called a push-down automaton. At the first ITSIP Congress in Paris, 1959, the method with the table in the meantime replaced by a function based on precedence was presented by Samuelson to a surprised audience. During a visit Bottenburg and I made in fall of 1957 to the United States, we found some interest to discuss jointly further language efforts, especially by John Carr, Alan Perlis, and Sol Gorn. In fall 57, the GUM committee approved a joint enterprise, and soon ACM did so too. The conference, which then was held in Zurich in the first days of May, had Perlis, Backus, Wegstein, who had found similar techniques for parsing than we, and Katz, together with the four mentioned already from the Zurich, Munich, Darmstadt group. In 1 week, the proposals from the two sides were amalgamated and a report was written. We could agree on everything but the name. Rudisather disliked IAL, International Algebraic Language. The name ALGOL came up only in fall 1958 at a meeting of the Darmstadt, Munich, and Zurich people at Mainz University, to which place I had moved in the meantime. Someone said algorithmic language gives abbreviated ALGOL, and the ones among us who had studied astronomy immediately saw the pun. Whether the word really meant bad luck for the language was asked frequently later on, in particular when heavy reactions on the side of and conflicts with the leading manufacturer came up. But this was in the 60s and is outside my report. By the end of 1958, an ALGOL 58 compiler for the Z22 written by Paul was working in Mainz, one for the PERM written by Segmüller working in Munich, one for the ERMET was finished by Schwarz in Zurich. Several other computing centers and manufacturers, among them Rechenzentral in Copenhagen, University of Bonn, Meyer-Lüftel Vienna, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, Siemens and Halske, then joined in and formed the ALCOR group, to which existing general compiler descriptions based on the Seller principle was made available. There was also a joint coding scheme for ALGOL representations on European teletype machines. Thus, with all this experience in many centers, the European side went to the ALGOL 60 conference in Paris in January 1960 with strong technical experience. Here, I think the development ends, but I have to say a few words on the relation between ALGOL and the Planck calculus. Zuse has repeatedly raised this question. First of all, the Zuse company has had help from the ALGOL people inside and outside the ALCOR group, especially with the compilers for Z22 and Z23. Certainly the Planck calculus did not get, and maybe still has not got, fully recognized by the computing community. Rudisather wrote 1967, his notation was quite general, but the proposal never attained the consideration it deserved. But this does not mean that Rudisather neglected the Planck calculus, nor is it true in case of Samson myself. Zuse wrote in 1970. Around 1955, Algol and Fortran originated. They were in first line directed towards numerical computations, but otherwise they correspond to the Planck calculus. It is difficult to find out to what extent ideas of the Planck calculus have been taken over. Certainly, Fortran was absolutely independent of the Planck calculus. Algol, however, was not, and probably therefore was always better than Fortran. The Algol procedure concept, the type concept with specifications, the assignment concept, and many others were conceptually based on similar ideas in the Planck calculus. Quite frequently, this was done by the European Algol members subconsciously, and in particular, since some of Zuse's sources had also been in the mathematical folklore. Zuse at that time was busy in building up his enterprise and could not find enough time to talk with Rudishauser and others. He says he didn't have enough time to talk with Rudishauser and Bauer. Frequently or mostly, we raided an aneinander vorbei. He had the feeling that the basic idea of the Planck calculus to build a programming language systematically from its roots was not appreciated, was felt to be ballast. Certainly for numerical work, and this was mainly the purpose of Algol 58 and Algol 60, there was neither a need nor an advantage for describing algorithms down to the bit. And this was the reason, and here we certainly can agree. That was, of course, a different thing with Algol 68. Moreover, it cannot be denied that the Planck calculus had a horrible notation, absolutely unsuited for the input to a compiler, and Zuse admits the Planck calculus hätte noch compilergerecht zugeschnitten werden müssen. It needed to be tailored in order to be compiler suited. Moreover, there were certain practical things missing. Zuse already had a convenient notation in 1952 for the four clause, and a few other things were just practical and nothing else. Conceptually, however, the Planck calculus has had its maximal influence on the European Algol development. Fortunately for Algol, it has left no scars on Algol notationally. There was other harm done to Algol from somewhere else.